Great, we'll head back to the book of Proverbs. We'll begin a little bit at chapter 8 and 9. We began thinking last week a little bit about this character that we find there in those chapters we read especially. Lady Wisdom, we might call her. She has a couple of speeches there, whole of chapter 8, most of chapter 9, half of chapter 1, and a couple of other mentions in 2, 3 and 4. And so in these first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs, probably getting on for a third of it, is the words of this character, Lady Wisdom. And we were thinking a little bit about it last week, who she is. And we were saying that, in a nutshell, she's a poetical personification of wisdom. So that's when you turn something into someone. I used the example, which some people thought was rather humorous, of me talking to my car, that we call Gladys. It's turning an object into, giving it a sort of personality, talking about it as if it were somebody who is alive and real and so on. We do it with things, and you can do it with concepts too. And so similarly, there is Lady Liberty, stands in New York Harbour, and there is Lady Justice, who stands on the law courts in London. Same sort of idea. You take something, a concept, and you dress it up in human clothes, in human language. And so you make it seem as if, imagine what it was like if it were a person. If there were a person who was completely about this whole concept of liberty or justice or wisdom, in our case, this morning. And that's what we find here in the book of Proverbs. It's quite like, if you're familiar with the book of Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan may well take an idea from this, in that a lot of the characters he describes are very similar, aren't they? He'll talk about people called evangelists and somebody called Greatheart and things like that. And they're a person who's all about one character trait that makes them up completely, faithful or hopeful, these characters. Some of the young people might remember it from a couple of Boys' Brigade camps ago when we looked at the book of Pilgrim's Progress. Well, in the book of Proverbs, most of it comes across in the first instance, are the father talking to his son. And this father has been bringing up his son and guiding him and helping him and teaching him and protecting him, doing those fatherly-like things. He mentions a little bit of it in chapter 4, verse 10. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you the path of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. But now what? The father's been doing that, and the father is teaching his son now, particularly with this idea of, well, his son's growing up. He's heading out into the big wide world, as it were. Perhaps not a child anymore, but a young person, perhaps. And one of the things the father wants to tell his son, well, as you go out there into the big wide world, don't go out there alone. And so the father tells his son about this character, Lady Wisdom, the friend you need, the person you need with you as you head out into the big wide world, Lady Wisdom. And in this little pen portrait that he gives, there's 7 things, right? I'm going to do them very briefly, 7 little pictures, different ways he describes this lady. Firstly, she's the companion you should travel with. So we were there already in chapter 4, and I read verse 10 and 11, and he carries on in verse 12. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. The father introduces to his son a traveling companion, someone to go with you. I mentioned already, sometimes I have a habit of talking to the car. It's also been known for me to talk to the sat-nav. Have you ever done that? There's the sat-nav talking to you, telling you, take the next right. And sometimes I just respond, oh, thank you. And so on. You know, is somebody there talking to you in the car? Well, here he says, there's somebody with you on the journey, a companion. And she'll show you the path you should choose. You'll come to a fork in the road. My son, as you go out, as the young people head out into the world making their decisions, you'll come, won't you, to a decision to make, a fork in the road. Well, Lady Wisdom will help you know the right way to go. She won't let you stumble, it says, verse 12. She won't let you be hindered. She'll help you in those things. And she'll get you there. She'll get you where you need to go. Chapter 3 and verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Lady Wisdom is a good travelling companion. She guides you onto the pleasant and peaceful paths. Sometimes your sat-nav doesn't do that, does it? Sometimes the sat-nav seems bent on taking you into a road that's got roadworks it doesn't know about and great traffic jams. Well, Lady Wisdom will take you on the pleasant road, the path of peace. And it's the path, chapter 3, verse 18, that leads to life. Her path will get to the right destination. A travelling companion to go with you. It was there in those verses we read, chapter 8, verse 20. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. I know the paths that are right, says Lady Wisdom. I know the right way to go, and I'll guide you. That's one picture. Second one, she's the hostess you should spend time with. A lot of that came up in chapter 9. Most of us like an invitation to go to somebody's house. It's welcoming, it's friendly, isn't it? To invite someone round into their home, into their place, and you're welcomed in, and they want to spend time with you. They want to share with you conversation or food or whatever it might be. It's lovely, isn't it? Well, here in chapter 9, we read in those first few verses of this grand hostess who's opened up her home with seven pillars. It sounds like a mansion, really. And she's got everything ready. She's got the finest meats. She's mixed wine. The table is all laid. Servants have gone out inviting anyone to come in. Whoever lacks understanding, come, she says, verse 5, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine. The picture is one of a hostess. Everyone's invited. Imagine being invited to a mansion like this with its seven pillars. We once got a free holiday years ago. We only had the two boys then, Isaac and Elliot, and we were given a free holiday down in Cornwall, and it was a hotel that had pillars at the front of it. And the boys were just amazed as they walked up the driveway. Oh, it's a palace. And they were amazed by how posh it all seemed there. Well, here we're welcomed into this place by this grand lady of the house. But the focus isn't as much on the house, but it's on her. She says all of these things. She sends out the invitation. She's not some hostess who just brings you in through the front door and then, just leaves you. No, she's there with you. She wants to spend time with you. She invites you in. And it's an open invitation. Imagine what that would be. You could just pop round to her house whenever you were lonely, whenever you wanted to chat. Just go and listen to her. Well, she welcomes everyone to come and eat of her bread, to come and enjoy the things that she's provided, to come and find wisdom. Thirdly, she's the spokesperson you should follow. I wonder if there's anyone you particularly listen to, a particular news program you tune into, or, and you're flicking through the news and you just see somebody's name and you think, oh, what have they been up to? What have they said? Maybe there's a politician. Maybe not. Maybe there's a celebrity, a leader, and you always sort of prick your ears up when you hear them say something, or they've got a quote of something in the news, and you look it up, and so on. Who is it you follow? Well, nowadays people can do that, can't they? You follow somebody's blog, follow them on Twitter or Instagram or something like that. A week or two ago, Jennifer Aniston managed to break Instagram by sharing a picture and a bit of news about her and some friends from the programme Friends. And apparently so many people started following her in the couple of minutes that followed, the whole Instagram website crashed. The whole of their servers just stopped working for a couple of hours. Apparently it was the fastest growing following ever to follow somebody's account. Well, who do we follow? And she's a spokesperson. Chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out. Verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I'll pour out my spirit upon you. You can subscribe to follow Lady Wisdom. You can follow her tweets. You can follow what she has to say on her blog. And she'll give you pure truth. Here in chapter 8 that we've read already, she cries out, verse 1. Verse 6, listen, I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. My mouth will speak the truth. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are righteousness. She promises to speak pure truth. That's something that's hard to find, isn't it? And all the other blogs you can follow. Listening to politicians and leaders, celebrities and presenters. Which one of them is going to speak to you pure truth? Nothing that's lies. Nothing crooked, nothing twisted. Trying to misguide people or skirt round the issue and things. No, she speaks righteousness. She's the one you should listen to. Everyone else, well, they can have their half-truths, can't they? And their ways of manipulating things and playing around with words. But Lady Wisdom is the spokesperson you should follow. Fourth little picture, she's the advisor you should listen to. Sometimes we long, don't we, for advice. We long someone would tell us what to do, at least guide us, give us some suggestions when we're stuck, when we're faced with choices. Well, listen to these credentials and the references that she has. Verse 15 of chapter 8, or verse 14 probably. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign. And rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I think of some of the greatest people and the wisest things they decided to do. Well, the one advising them, she says, was Lady Wisdom. It was her. She advises kings and princes and judges when they do good things. It's because they've consulted Lady Wisdom. And imagine that person who's advised kings and queens and judges. Well, she can advise you. She can advise you. And she offers to be that go-to person for advice. I have counsel. You can come. You can come to me for understanding and advice. Fifth little picture. She's the boss you should work for. You have to spend a fair chunk of your time, don't you, in your workplace? And perhaps some of us have had the experience of working for somebody who was dishonest, somebody who was unkind or aggressive or lying. Perhaps you've had the uncomfortable experience of working for somebody like that. Well, she says, come work for me. Imagine working for a boss like this. Chapter 3 and verse 14. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days are in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honour. The language is one of working. The things you receive, the wages you get from this boss. Well, it's not silver and gold. She pays far better than that. If we follow her, if we serve her, if we work for her, she pays life. That's the profit. That's the proceed of the work. Better than silver and gold. She gives things more precious than that. She gives life. Imagine having a boss like that. Sixth picture. She's the sister you should be close to. I wonder if you have a relative or a friend who you're particularly close to, who you're in regular contact with. Barely a week, maybe barely a day goes past and you don't talk to that person. Somebody you phone every day, somebody you keep in contact with all the time, somebody you're close to. Maybe you have that, maybe you don't. Maybe you wish you did. Wish you had somebody who you could be so close to. Here, Lady Wisdom is described like a sister. Chapter 7, verse 4 and 5. Say to Wisdom, you are my sister, and call Understanding your nearest kin. There, she's available to be a sister, to be a friend you could chat with. The verse before, chapter 7, verse 3, bind her words, the commandments on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Be close to her, the sister you should be close to. There, constantly near to, chatting things through with her, rubbing shoulders with her, in constant contact. Imagine you did have a sister like that. And treat her like it. Say to her, you're my sister. Seventh, and the last of these little pictures, she's the wife you should embrace. Of course, this is poetry. You don't have to be too precise. Building up these pictures one upon the other, you might think, hang on a minute, how can Wisdom be all of these things? She can't be your sister and your wife. It'd be also weird for her to be your boss and all sorts of other things too, but anyway, don't worry about it. Poetry doesn't have to be precise like that. You can mix your metaphors and so on. And that's what's going on here. We can talk about her in chapter 7, that you should treat her like a sister. And in chapter 4, we can say, well, no, you need to treat her like your wife. Chapter 4, verse 6, do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. The language is of that of marriage. She's the kind of person you should marry. Lady Wisdom, in all you're getting, one thing you should get is get married to her. She would be the perfect wife. Imagine a wife like her. She's the one who brings honour. You're the one who's meant to embrace her, love her, verse 6. Not forsake her, in those words that he shares. You're meant to be close to her. Again in chapter 3 and verse 18, she's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Happy are all who retain her. So there are those seven little pictures, just had to whirl through pretty quickly. Lady Wisdom, this female character who's pictured here in these opening nine chapters of Proverbs in so many different ways. It's so much of the writing is devoted to talking about her and talking about her as a character. Of course, it makes great sense. It's a father talking to his son. So it's personified as a female character. We talked about it a little bit of it last week in that way, that of course the word for wisdom in Hebrew, and when it was translated into Greek as well, is a feminine word. You can remember back to your days in school of trying to learn French and things like that. I mean, that there were feminine nouns and masculine nouns and so on. We don't have to bother with that in English, but in their language, it was very natural to talk about wisdom in a female way, because the word had that feminine noun sort of qualities to it. And so it's quite natural to drift into that. But what's going on here? Well, there's two big things we can bring out. It's poetry, but it's practical. What we've been looking at so far this morning is a picture of Lady Wisdom. And we might think about these things. She might be brought to our attention here in this book of Proverbs, this character that you should love, that you should spend time with, this character you should travel with and listen to and work for and be close to and the rest, as we just have. But you might want to turn around and go, but it's all just fiction, isn't it? It's all just a picture. Are we just talking about having an imaginary friend? Is that all this book of Proverbs is telling us in these first couple of chapters? Well, it is poetry. It is a picture. She is a fictional, stylized character. She's the concept of wisdom dressed up in human language, imagined to be like a person, and then described with all these characteristics. And perhaps you might look at these kind of things and think about those things we've just been talking about. Well, sure, you're talking about here in Proverbs, Lady Wisdom, this advisor, this spokesperson, this companion, this boss, this wife, this sister. But it's all just a figment of your imagination. It's just poetry. And it is just poetry. But poetry can be practical all the same. Yes, she is a fictional, stylized character, and you will never meet anyone quite like her. But you will meet people a bit like her. And you will meet people who are nothing like her. Yes, she is fictional. She does not really exist out there in the world. But you will meet people who are a bit like her. And sometimes you'll meet people who are nothing like her. And that's life, isn't it, for us? We exist in a network of relationships, don't we? We are interacting with all sorts of people all day long. And they affect us. The people we interact with have an awful bearing on us. A big influence on the way we live our lives. So who do you travel with? Catch the bus to school with anyone? You know, go to work with anyone? Is there somebody you do travel with? Who do you follow? Who are the people you listen to on the news? Whose blog do you read? Whose Instagram account? Whatever it is. Who do you turn to for advice? Who do you work for? Who are you close to? Who are your friends and family? Who are you married to? Think about them. And maybe they're a bit like Lady Wisdom. And we should thank God, shouldn't we, for positive influences. If you have got friends and family, if you are married to somebody who is wise, if there are people you can turn to for advice, people who you can listen to, people who you can get in contact with, if you have good positive influences, people who would tell you when you're going wrong, people who would advise you in living in a wise way, then thank God for positive influences. She's not real, but there's plenty of people who are pretty wise, at least, and have had a helpful influence on you. But perhaps there are some we can think about that we're close to, perhaps people we talk with, and so on. We do listen to them, and so on. And yet, if we're honest, we know that they're not wise. And that's one of the practical things, isn't it, about the book of Proverbs? He wants us to be aware of those negative influences, to be able to identify things like that and think of those situations. Perhaps it is a boss that you work for and you think, actually, if I carry on doing this, I'm going to be in big trouble one day. Perhaps it is a boss who's encouraging you to be dishonest or fraudulent. And part of Proverbs is thinking about those kind of things, thinking, hang on a minute, if I don't sort this out now, I'm going to end up in prison because of my boss and things like that. You know, it is thinking through practically things. The book of Proverbs has things to tell to us about friends. In Proverbs chapter 1, it talked about the young man who's heading out and he meets a gang. And they think violence is funny. And they're encouraging him to join their gang, get involved in their violent way. Well, Proverbs is about that. Identifying that danger. Realizing the foolishness of some people, even friends, even family members, all sorts who could be around us, and realizing that they may be advising us to do something very foolish. The book of Proverbs is practical. It's about that kind of thing. The book of Proverbs is about choices, making wise choices. And one of the wise things to think about is the people we choose. The people we choose to be close to. Choosing our friends. There may be a friend who's a bad influence and we're better off without them. There may be a family member, actually, we need to keep our distance a bit from. The book of Proverbs is about practical things. Yes, it's poetry. And she's not real. But we need to be on alert. For those who have none of her character traits are the kind of people we need to avoid. We need to be careful. It's a father talking to his son. It's great having our teenagers with us this morning. It's an opportunity to think through those things. Who is it that I'm close to? Be careful who you travel with, who you listen to, who you turn to for advice. Be careful what kind of job you end up, who you want to work for. And a big one Proverbs wants to talk about is who you're going to marry one day. You want to choose carefully. You need wisdom in all of those things. So it's poetry, but it's practical. So many positive things for us to think about. And to be thankful when we have those good influences. And to be careful to identify when we don't. And the second way to apply it is, yep, she's fictional, as we've said already, but she is theological. More of that in just a moment. Lady Wisdom, as we said, she doesn't exist. She's just a picture. Just a way of poetically talking about the concept of wisdom, but trying to dress it up in a more imaginative way that we can relate to and think about the implications of. See, yes, Lady Wisdom is fictional. And you might think, well, isn't that a bit of an anticlimax? Yeah, wouldn't it be great to work for Lady Wisdom? Wouldn't it be great to be able to journey with her and have her as your guide? But aren't you talking about having an imaginary friend? What help's that going to be? What help is it if you're just talking to yourself and an imaginary friend you've conjured up in your mind? Because if it's imaginary, then the only advice it can give to you is the advice you impart to it in the first place. You know, are you just talking about an imaginary friend here? This is a personification, as we've said. It's the virtue of wisdom dressed up in this poetical language. Well, she does not exist as a person, but wisdom does exist. Lady Wisdom doesn't. But the concept, the truth of wisdom, well, that really does exist. And just to recap a tiny bit of what we looked at last week, and of course, wisdom is found in God. Wisdom is a real thing. And the source of wisdom is not in that poetical character, but the source of wisdom is found in God. Romans 11, verse 33. O the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There is one God. He's called the only wise. Two. He's the only wise God. He is the source of wisdom. He's the God of wisdom. She's not real. But he is. There is wisdom to be found, and it is found in God. He's the God of wisdom. The depth of the riches of that, we can't begin to understand. The knowledge of God is understanding we can never grasp. But he is the God who is wise. But God didn't want his wisdom, his vast knowledge, to be something far away from us. But God sent his Son, the Son of God, the one who has all of God's attributes in all of his fullness. So if he's the God of wisdom, well, this is the Son of God of wisdom too. And he comes to show us wisdom from God. And so in Luke chapter 11 and verse 30, we read this. That Jesus said, "For as Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here." Jesus is the one wiser than Solomon. Solomon, who wrote at least lots of the book of Proverbs. One of the wisest people there in the world. Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, came to visit him. Well, Jesus there stands and says, one greater than Solomon, one wiser than Solomon is here. He stands and he says to the crowds round him, "The Queen of Sheba will judge you for not listening to me," is his point. "Because she listened to Solomon, but you won't listen to me," is Jesus' point. We can't listen to Lady Wisdom. We can listen to Jesus. And he's the one wiser than Solomon, who was probably the one who invented her as a character. We can listen to Jesus, the one wiser than Solomon. We mentioned it last time, but in the very well-known parable of the wise and foolish builders that Jesus gives to people at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, his point is this, in Matthew 7, "Whoever hears my sayings and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Jesus says the wise thing to do is to listen to me and obey me. That's the definition of wisdom. Wisdom is found in Jesus Christ. And the wisdom is shown most of all in the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. "We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." For there at the cross, we see the nature of God revealed in the clearest way possible as God's Son. The Lord Jesus Christ dies there. We said last time, on the one instance, there are those who look at it and are completely confused. Think, what on earth's going on there? It seems utter foolishness. But once we've grasped what God was doing, that it was no tragedy, it was no blind roll of the dice or whatever people might say about it. There we see at the cross the Lord Jesus Christ giving his life, the only holy one, the only one who could do such a thing, dying for sin, becoming sin. Christ crucified, the wisdom of God. And so, you do have a friend. Yep, Lady Wisdom isn't real. She's just fictional. But you do have a friend, a companion you can travel with, a host you can spend time with, a spokesperson you can follow, an advisor you can listen to, a boss you can obey, a brother you can be close to, a husband you can love. In the New Testament, those same pictures are used of the Lord Jesus, aren't they? He's the friend who's closer than a brother. He's the one we should listen to. He's the one we should follow. He's the one who invites us, echoing lots of the language of Proverbs. He's the one who comes and asks us to come and listen to him and commands us to come and do it. He is a real friend. It isn't as if Proverbs is asking us to go to school or work tomorrow, to head out on our journey through life with an imaginary friend in our head. But the book of Proverbs, as seen in relation to the whole of the Bible, is telling us about the real Lord Jesus Christ. He's not an imaginary friend. He's one who did live here on earth, went through the same sort of things that we face, faced the same temptations, faced the same ups and downs of life. He lived. He's real. He died. He rose again. He's ascended into heaven. He lives now. We do have a friend. We do have a friend who will give us wisdom. James in the New Testament echoes lots of the words of Proverbs. And he tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask. And God will give it. Here in Proverbs, we have this picture of Lady Wisdom, the friend we need. And we see it so much clearer, don't we? When viewed through all of what happens in the rest of the Bible, through the New Testament, is a picture of Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the source of wisdom. The one who died to save us. The one who lives to intercede for us and help us, our Lord and Saviour, the one we can follow too. Let's sing of that in our last hymn. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew.